Praise the Lord, everyone. It is a privilege to be up here again teaching Sunday school. Just honored to be a part of the ministry of this church, be part of this church, and honored to be part of the kingdom of God. So today I'm going to have I got a message that God gave me a couple weeks ago, and I've entitled it The Heart of the Matter. Now, let's pray and ask God's anointing on this service that I would speak what he would have me to speak, and you would hear what he'd have you to hear. Because otherwise, I'm just up here talking, Brother Evans. I don't want to just talk. So help me pray, if you would. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your goodness, your mercy. Truly, God, we love your word. We're thankful for it. It is the bread of life. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet as we navigate the world that we're in today. And Lord, we want your anointing to be in this place upon each and every soul that is gathered. And Lord, we ask for your will to be done, and we'll give you praise as we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, as I was studying this, and this is something actually we've been talking about the heart in our Bible study on Friday nights. And the first time the heart is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 6 and 5. And it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. That's not a great start. The very first place he mentions the heart of a man, he says it's continually evil. Doesn't sound like the creation God started with us was starting in a good place. But sometimes it really doesn't matter where we start. It's only going to matter where we end. When we stand before God, where is our heart at that point? You know, even in Revelation 17 and 17, this is the last place he mentions the heart of man. And he says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. God had put it in their heart. This is evil people that God is using. God will use evil hearts. God will use people that aren't living for him. I was just telling someone right this morning, I'm standing here today because someone who is a backslider invited me to church. And they are still backslid to this day. But their heart God used for me to be here. From the time that every one of us came into this world, we drew our first breath. God knew your heart. God knew who we were going to become. How many people in here can say you can honestly look at yourself and know your faults and are willing to admit them? That you know your heart. That is a difficult thing to honestly look at ourselves. But God knows your heart. God knows who you are. From the very time you were born, you drew your first breath. God knew your strengths and God knew your weaknesses. And God will use that. It is his greatest desire to take your strengths and build on that. The Apostle Paul was a very driven individual. And as he was driven to kill Christians, God took that same drive and used it to evangelize the world. He never changed Paul's personality. He just pointed him in a different direction. Paul, you would not vote Paul or Saul in as your pastor. Because you might... Have you ever asked somebody a question and you want a specific answer and they actually tell you the truth? I've actually had people, when I was an assistant pastor, a lady came to me and says, well, Brother Bowen, what about this? I looked at her and I said, sis, do you really want me to answer that? She looked at me and said, never mind, and walked away because she realized I wasn't going to tell her what she wanted to hear. Church, when we come in this place, the last thing as Holy Ghost-filled Christians is we should expect to hear the ministry tell us what we want to hear. But you know what's even more important? And I will say this, it has been here more than anywhere I've ever been that God has dealt with my heart. And God asked rhetorical questions. God will ask you a question that he already knows the answer to. He's just wanting you to understand you need to see what that answer really is. You know, it doesn't matter if you were born apostolic and you slept under church pews. And for those that are really old, you know, when you were teething, you gnawed on those wooden pews. Remember those slatted wooden pews? When I first got in church, that's where they had it. I'm like, whoever thought these were a good idea? You could not get comfortable on those things. It doesn't matter if your great-great-grandfather was the greatest apostolic minister in the region. That doesn't matter because you are blessed to have that, but you still have to have a heart that is toward God. My wife prayed that the Lord would send her a husband from the world. That was her prayer, one of them. If you want to know the other four, go ask her. She had five. One, she asked for she did ask God for a strong-willed individual, and guess what? She got it. But she wanted a guy from the world because she said all the guys that she knew in church, they played church. She wanted someone that God was going to pull from the world and that would live for him. I'm thankful that she prayed that, but I'm more thankful that God pulled me out of the miry clay because my history back then was not good. I was headed down the completely opposite path. So if God can save me, and I preached the message many years ago, I'm that guy that walked into church and people said, he'd never get saved. We don't know what God will do with someone's heart. But you know the worst heart that's in the church? Is the one that thinks, I'm okay. I'm okay just the way I am. God is always looking to increase us. I was praying a couple weeks ago and I was meditating on the word and thinking. And have you ever used the phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Have you ever thought about that? And you know what the Lord said to me? Well, yeah, I was their God, but am I your God? Because he wasn't asking me if he was my God. He was asking me, am I really 100% totally your God? Have you committed it all to me? Are you willing to do what Abraham had to do? Put your most prized possession on the altar. Isaac's trial was he had to allow his dad to put him on that trial. Jacob wrestled with God. Anybody ever wrestled with God? Yeah. If you're wrestling with God, at least he is dealing with you and he's trying to get you to a better place. These patriarchs all had a heart toward God. God knows how to touch each and every one of us to get us to that place. Am I going to be an Abraham? Probably not. I'm pretty much kind of have the mindset of David. If I'm just, and I'm paraphrasing, the gatekeeper in the temple, I'm good. Because that wasn't a great job. If you don't know what it was, you can ask me later and I'll try to explain it to you as gently as possible. But David said, and here was a man after God's own heart. And he said, if I'm just the gatekeeper in heaven, the Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where does the sinner lie? And the greatest thing that can affect an apostolic thinking I'm doing all that God wants me to do, I'm as close to God as I'm ever going to get. And I read something, and I can't remember which great evangelist was back in like the 15th century. He said, the closer I get to God, the more I realize just how far away I really am. When we think we've arrived, we're in a very dangerous place. I am so thankful that God brought me to this place because for me to get around some of these great men of God, I realized I had to up my game. I realized just where I was. I can almost say I was satisfied where I was. Brother Evans, the one thing before I got here that I never did in church, didn't want to do in church, other people prayed with people on the altar. That was not my thing. You know what God has pushed me toward? Praying with people in the altar. Now, I love praying with people in the altar. I see what God can do. We have to be willing to allow God to direct us where we don't want to go. We have to allow God to use us in places that we're not comfortable with. Jeremiah said in chapter 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. God will try your heart, but you have to be willing to listen once he gets there. Once he tries your heart and he tries your reins, we have to be willing to say, okay, God, I see that you have more for me. When I enlisted in the Army in 1979, the slogan that they used was, be all you can be. Now, for you old folks, you might remember that. You know, as much as I wanted to be all I could be in the Army, how much more should I have that mindset in the church for God to be all that I can be? The problem is, we don't know what we can be. But God does. We have to allow God to try our hearts. The worst thing that we can do is come into a church expecting just to have another great service. We have services in here that most churches might see once a year, and we do it every week. But do we get satisfied with that? We can get satisfied with God touching other people. We can get satisfied with miracles, signs, and wonders, but are we growing in God? Well, I've been in church for 50 years. Well, where's that chariot of fire with your name swooping down saying, you're closer to me than you are them? That can happen. It has happened. Not in any church I've ever been in. It just proves to me that I have a long way to go. The New Testament, Luke said in 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. There is no doubt in the world today there is a greater void between the world and the church. It could be what the parable of the wheats and tares. Maybe God is just separating out the wheats and tares. That has never been our job to separate that. But the church has to stand out more. Our heart has to be, God, whatever it takes for me to be ready. Now, for me, and I can only speak for me, I can't speak for anybody else who's been in church longer or shorter. God is not going to judge you on what he's going to judge me. What God has put in my heart for me to do, I have to be willing to do with all my heart. Or I can turn around and say, nope, I'm good enough. And God's like, you're not even close. There is so much more you could do for me. I don't see this in this church, but a lot of, it, and forgive me, I'm. This might sound like I'm being judgmental, but when I first got in church back in the 80s, in 1980, it was almost like apostolics had a list of do's and don'ts that we would check off. If I cut my hair, I don't have to worry about it as much because it's falling out. They don't give me a discount, Brother Evans. Why shouldn't I get a discount? It doesn't take her long this time. But, you know, if I cut my hair cut, if I dress right, if I don't curse, if I pay my tithes, check, 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 I'm right with God. Where's my heart in all this? I've taken my heart completely out of it. We can come to church every Sunday morning. We can come to Sunday school. We can come hear our pastor preach or a minister preach in this altar. We can make Tuesday night prayer. We can make Wednesday night Bible study, and somehow there is a mentality, well, I've done my duty. The last time I checked, we don't have time clocks at the back door for you to punch your card and check in and check out. If we don't come to church every week and allow God to change our heart, Did you get anything out of it? But God's only going to change your heart if you're willing. You have to be willing. I've had to be willing to realize there is so much more that God wants to do for me. The worst thing you can do is ignore your heart when God is tugging at it. A lot of you know, last May, I ended up having quadruple bypass. I woke up on a Monday morning, told my wife my breathing is wrong. Something's wrong. Long story short, went to Athens, Georgia, went in for a heart cath. I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to get a couple stints. I'll be out here this afternoon. All's going to be good. I wake up in a room. My wife is there. She said the doctor just left and said, you should be dead. You had the widowmaker heart attack and you didn't die. I am kind of stubborn. Yes. No, I don't think about it, brother. Brother Johnson, at least I'm willing to admit I'm stubborn. That's the first stage, admitting, okay? We'll talk later. But the PA told me, she said, I'll say what she said. You're a smart man. I didn't argue with her. She said, you did not ignore your body. Because if you had ignored this, because the time I got to the hospital, got to the emergency room, I felt fine. My breathing was fine. I could have turned around, just gone home and said, now, you know what? It was just a false alarm. She said the next one would have killed you. Church, when God is tugging at your heart, don't ignore him. He's trying to find something better for you. When I first went in for surgery, I was going in for triple bypass. Like I said, I thought I was getting a couple stints. Triple bypass. Sometimes we think, okay, we've isolated the problem. We know what the problem is. Brother Holloman, I got in there. I wake up. Next day, the doctor told me, well, once we got in there, we found another blockage on the backside of your heart, and we took care of that while we're in there. Thought I was going to have triple. Ended up having quadruple. I tell people that was the best blessing I've had from God ever. Because I'm a 1962 model muscle car with a rebuilt engine. I feel great. But we have to be willing to let our heart be touched. When we ignore what God is trying to do, how are we ever going to touch other people? We have a responsibility as the blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled Apostolic Church of Christian Life Center, that when people come in here, they feel something different. They don't come because we preached Acts 2:48. They don't come because we baptized in Jesus' name. They come in because they're searching for something, and it is our responsibility as the church to create an atmosphere, because our heart is right with God. When we come into this place, that they feel the presence of God. They're in need of what we have. And if we are satisfied where we're at, how are we ever going to reach the entire region? Yesterday we had a prayer service in here for section one. And Brother Dainsworth, you said something that just stood out to me. Prayer is probably the hardest thing, and I can't explain it, but I will agree with you 100%. Prayer is the hardest things we do. We can come in church, we can lift our hands and praise God, we can listen to the musicians and the singers, and we can worship, and we can run the aisles, we can do all this. But when it comes time to pray, you said, even the disciples, the Lord said, couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? We have to crucify the flesh and our heart, because prayer is spiritual exercise. Now, I used to actually love to run. I know it doesn't look like it, but I've had a hip replacement and hip revision, so I can't. But I did. I mean, I am not your prototypical runner. You know, Logan is like a running. He has that long, lean. I mean, they can long strides. Me, I'm just that short, stubby guy running down. I love to run. It keeps our heart healthy. Church, prayer is what keeps our heart healthy. The more you run, the longer you can go. Believe it or not, when I was in my 30s, I was running 6 miles a day. And I loved it. We have to get past that point where prayer is drudgery or, oh, I got to pray, otherwise I'm in trouble with God. I mean, it's my prayer time. Or church, we have to have a heart for prayer. We have to have a heart because prayer is what will change us. Well, I'm good enough. Are you? Does anybody really, and I believe me, I am not going to be one to stand up here and say, I've arrived. The thing I've truly understand is I got a lot of growing to do. I have a lot more that I need to do for my God because, you know, is my commitment to God absolute, complete, true? Is it? Well, you're not going to know. I know. I've realized that I'm not satisfied where I'm at. And it is going to take dedication to have a heart that is greater toward God. Psalms 51, 16, 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken and contrite heart, O God, that wilt not despise. God is wanting our hearts to be broken so he can rebuild them toward him. God has been dealing with my heart. God has been dealing with me about the things that are hidden in those hidden places in my heart that I have forgotten about, that I've pushed aside and say they don't bother me. And then God, and like I said, God asks rhetorical questions. Because he knows the answer. When he asked me, I know that I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but am I truly your God like I was their God? And it's like, now, not that God would do this, but it would be just like God asking me to sacrifice my granddaughter. I would literally, me and God would have a long talk about that one. When God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, go to a place I'm going to tell you. What'd he do? Started preparation. The next day, grabbed 2 servants, grabbed the wood, headed off. Abraham didn't even have to think about it. And I guarantee if God said to me, offer up Zoe, I'm like, excuse me? I would. I'm being honest up here. The very thing that we withhold from God is something we put between God. Now, God's not asking human sacrifice, but how great is your love for God? And that is a question only you can answer. Your spouse can't answer it. Your children can't answer it. And the worst thing is, and I beg, and I've had to look in my own heart, so I'm not saying this to anybody here. Don't lie to yourself where you're at. I've said forever, the worst lie you tell is you tell yourself and you believe. Be honest with yourself. Ask God to search your heart, to try your heart, so you can see where you're at. One of the Psalms I just read, it's a beautiful Old Testament scripture, but it is as powerful today. And if anything, if the latter church is going to be greater than the former church, then we have to allow God to break our hearts and rebuild us. When I say break, that's only so he can make us better. We can take the things, like I said, it doesn't matter if you were born in an apostolic church, raised in an apostolic church, you still had to make the commitment of where you're going to be with God. And we have to be willing to say, God, whatever it takes for me to be that person that you want me to be. Bible tells us that he wants to write his word on the tablets of our heart. That's how important our heart is. When my father was passing away from cancer, my dad was extremely healthy for a 75-year-old. He kayaked 3-4 days a week in the mangroves off of Cape Coral. But when they put him in hospice, as his body was shutting down, it took over 2 weeks in hospice as cancer ravaged his body. And the doctor told my family, the only reason he is not dead is he was so healthy, his heart was so strong. Every other organ is shutting down, but that heart is still pumping. It is still trying to get the very last bit of life on this earth that it could get. Now, that is a natural thing, but how spiritually strong is your heart? Only you can answer that. It's not going to matter how many times you come to church. Sometimes we come to church just because it's church time. It's routine. Now, there's nothing wrong with routine. Just because I said that, don't tell the pastor, well, Brother Bowen said, I don't do a routine, so just I'm not coming next week. You need to be at church. But we need to allow God to touch our hearts. Too often, we think the service is focused on just people getting the Holy Ghost. That is so incorrect. The church service is to make me better. Like I said, I am so thankful. And I you will probably get tired of hearing me say this, Brother Dainsworth. I am so thankful God sent me here. Because he's allowed me to see where I need to improve my life, where I could do more for his kingdom, where my heart still had issues. I was holding, I don't want to say a grudge, and maybe I was lying to myself saying that a situation of my past didn't bother me. And then God asked me a question that I knew the answer to, and I had to answer it truthfully because you're not going to lie to God. And I realized that I still had pain. I still had animosity. We cannot grow in God when we have aught, animosity, pain toward our brothers or sisters. Are you going to get hurt? My wife and I have married 42 years. Yes. She's hurt me. I think there was one time I hurt her, but I'm not sure. For some of you folks that have been married longer than I have, how many times have you had to forgive each other? How many times have you hurt that person that you love more than anything in this world? Yet God loves us more. God's heart toward us is only for good. And it's our responsibility to draw closer. You would think that's easy. Drawing closer to God, having a heart toward God would be easy. You know why it's not easy? Because I have to die. I have to put Todd second. I have to put God completely first. For us old folks, we remember God is my co-pilot bumper stickers. I realize God's never a co-pilot. He's either in charge or he's not there. God doesn't play second fiddle. You can want what you want, but if you're saying to God, God, I will give you this, but you know what? I'll hold on to this. You're telling God, you're not my God. Because God is either God over everything or he's not God. But the great thing is he loves you enough that he's going to give you time to say, okay, God, I'll give you this. And then we'll get that settled. Then God will say, well, what about this? We need to work on this. And then you're, okay, God, let's work on this. And God takes that, works on you, and you get that under the blood or get that worked out. And then God says, what about this one? And you're like, wow, I forgot about that one. And then God works on you. Why? Because he loves you enough that he wants that when you stand before God, he will say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because there's only other one option, and we all know what that is. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You can't have a heart for God if you have iniquity in your heart. Hebrews 8:10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. See, a covenant is only as good as both parties upholding that covenant. Now, I can say for me, God has never broken his word to me. God has never broken his side of the bargain. I can't tell you how many times I've had to go to God and say, God, I need you to apply the blood to my life one more time. I'm not perfect. Don't tell my granddaughter that. She thinks I am. I need God to write the complete law into my mind so I can meditate on it day and night. But more importantly, it becomes part of my heart. Because if it becomes part of your heart, it becomes a part of who you are. This is not something that we should have to think about. Well, am I going to live for God today? Years ago, I had some friends that literally, when they went on vacation, their apostolic identity stayed home. That means it's not in your heart. That means it's just in a book that you read. It's just something you play with on Sunday or maybe a Wednesday night. But it's not part of who you are. Now, I'm not going to tell you the world won't try you. I've been tried. I've been living for God for 42 years. I have not cussed anybody out in over 42 years. But can I be honest? Someone pushed me one day. It got real close. They really did. And this guy's like one of my business brothers. I love him to death. But he's a French-Canadian-Italian, so if you know anything about that. He pushed me to the point I almost said something. And the Holy Ghost had to check me. He had me so angry. I've not been that angry in years, not even with my wife. People will push us. That's when you're going to find out where your Holy Ghost is. It's not going to be when we're down here dancing the aisles. It's not going to be when we're praying, worshiping. It's going to be outside these four doors when we go out in that world and we have to contend with it. That's when you're going to find out where your Holy Ghost really is. I was at a church, Brother Dainsworth, years ago. We used to do a barbecue once a year. We sold like 2,500 plates. This was a two and a half day event, no sleep. You will find out who has the Holy Ghost after about 29 hours of no sleep. And you think I'm kidding? I am not. You will really find out who has prayed through, who has victory, and who's still working. This world will challenge us. But I don't want the world to challenge me. I want God to challenge me. I want God to talk to me about the condition of my heart. To me, the worst thing that can happen to a Holy Ghost-filled Christian, that when you're talking to somebody and you tell them you're a Christian and they go, really? Or you tell them, I go to Christian Life Center, and they go, really? That's the worst thing. That's the worst witness we have, is when people don't realize that we're a Christian when we get around them. I have met people that when I walk by them, and I'm not going to say they're the Holy Ghost, but you could just tell these are people that love God. Maybe they're still working in some areas, but I'm still working in some areas. I will never fault anybody's foundation, because you know one thing about a foundation? You can build on it. And it doesn't even matter what their foundation is. Now, if you see me dancing or running, God's really, you better get ready. I'm telling you, if you see me dancing or running, you better get down here praying because God is getting ready to come back in the next 5 seconds. One time I remember, it was a Good Friday service in Philadelphia. We were praying for a guy. I don't want to say the denomination. It's just a large denomination up in the Northeast. They got a lot of big churches. He had gone to church. He was trying to find more of God. He knew that he needed more of God. His heart was drawing him to a different place, and he was in their cathedral praying, and the leader of the church came up to him and said, "We're closing up. You got to leave." He said, "Well, I just want to finish praying." He said, "Nope, you got to leave now." And the problem is he grabbed John by the jacket, which was a mistake. John used to be an enforcer for the mob. He realized that there was something wrong with his heart when he had that individual lifted up by his neck up against the wall. He realized he needed something different in his heart. On a Good Friday service, he prayed through. Now, here is a man that had done a lot of rough things in life. God didn't look at his past. God was looking at where his heart was. I shouted that service, brother. It's the only one. You ask my wife, that's probably the only one. Actually, a couple weeks ago, I was praying for a lady in a wheelchair. My wife says, "I thought you were going to shout." I said, "I choked it down." No, I didn't. It doesn't matter where our heart starts. John was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what John was able to do that I could never do? He could go witness to people in jail. He could witness to murderers because he understands what they've done. He understands people that had worked in the mafia, what their life was. So we don't ever despise where the heart starts is where is it going to finish. But please, please, please don't get satisfied with where we're at. My doctor told me the only reason my results were so phenomenal because I was going to the gym for 3 years, 30 minutes on the elliptical, lifting weights 3 days a week. Some days I was riding a bike 10 miles up and down hills in about 50 minutes. I thought I was, honestly, when they told me I had three blockages, I was shocked. I thought I was in good shape. Don't ignore when the great physician's trying to work on your heart because he wants to make you a better person. He wants to make you greater in the kingdom. The worst thing that we can do as the church, and I'm including all of us, is expect the growth of this church to be on our pastor and wife's shoulders or the ministry team. That is the worst thing we can do to grow the kingdom, is think it's somebody else's job. We all have a choice. Matthew 15:8 says, "His people draweth nigh to me with their mouth. They honoreth me with their lips. But their heart is far from me." I want my heart to be a heart for God. We have a choice. The King James Version of the Bible mentions the heart over 800 times. When I was studying this, there is another newer Bible that has it down to 500. I don't know why they don't want the heart to be so mentioned, because the condition of our hearts toward God is so important. That is why he fills us. Our heart is filled with the Holy Ghost. How important is the heart of man toward God? Well, I got 5 minutes. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm not going to read every scripture, but I'm going to mention, and I didn't even give this because they would never keep up. But as I studied this, I'm just pulling some of the scriptures and where it applies. The Bible tells us that he opens our heart in Acts 16 and 4. It tells us he enlightens our heart in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. It says he strengthens our heart in Psalms 27, 14. It says he establishes our heart in Psalms 112, 8. It says he applies wisdom to our heart in Psalms 90 and 12. And it says he guides our heart in the right way in Proverbs 23 and 19. I'm just getting started. The Bible tells us that God will test our hearts in 1 Chronicles 29, 17. It says he knows the secrets of our heart in Psalms 44 and 21. It says he searches our hearts in 1 Chronicles 28, 19. It says he understands the thoughts of our heart in 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. It says he influences our hearts. This one's important because it's in 1 Samuel 10, 26, Ezra 6, 22, 7 and 27, and Ezra Proverbs 21 and 1, Jeremiah 20 and 19. God wants to influence our heart. It says he prepares our hearts in Proverbs 16 and 1. James wrote in 4 and 8, he purifies our heart. He tells us in Proverbs 4 and 23, guard your heart. It says we should believe in him with all of our heart in Acts 8, 37. Tells us to serve him with all of our heart in Deuteronomy 11, 13. Tells us to keep his statutes with all of our heart in Deuteronomy 26 and 16. It tells us to walk before God with all of our heart in 1 Kings 2 and 4. It tells us to trust in God with all of our hearts in Proverbs 3 and 5. It tells us to love God with all of our hearts in Matthew 22 and 37. It tells us to return to God with all of our heart in Deuteronomy 30 and 2. And it tells us to do the will of God in Ephesians 6 and 5 with all of our heart. But that's only going to happen if we do this. The Bible tells us to pray that our heart may be cleansed in Psalms 51 and 10. It tells us to pray that our heart is inclined to God's testimonies in Psalms 119, 36. It tells us to pray with our heart that we be blameless in God's statutes in Psalms 119 and 80. It tells us to pray that we are united in the fear of God in Psalms 86 and 11. It tells us to pray that we are directed into God's love in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5. It says to pray that we be not hardened against God in our heart in Psalms 95 and 8 and Hebrews 7, 4 and 7. It tells us to pray that we do not regard the iniquity of our heart in Psalms 46 and 18. It tells us to pray to take heed lest we be deceived. And in the hour we're in today, church, we need to pray that we are not deceived. Because a lot of the world, Christian apostolic churches are being deceived. And it tells us to pray in our hearts that our hearts be not despised by God in Psalms 51, 17. This is only some of the 800 scriptures that he talks about. As I was going through these, I realized some of these apply to me. I have to work just a little bit harder, day by day. I believe that God is desperately trying to get the church. He's trying to tell us something through all these scriptures that it's the heart of the matter. And the only way that's going to happen is through prayer, through fasting, through unity. Never underestimate the power of unity. I know some of you might not like the fact that I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan. I understand. Some people have a hard time with winners.
Wow, they turned me off? Did they really turn me off?
They actually turned me off. Oh, wait till Sunday after the game. Pastor, they need to get their heart right. They really got to. I mean, I'm trying to bring the word of God, and they're messing with me. You need to talk to your staff. See how touchy people get when you touch certain subjects? Their heart just gets all aflutter. We're going to disagree on certain things, but church, we need to come into this church with a heart that God is going to move in a great and mighty way because somebody's life depends on it. But it's our choice. Ezra 36:26 says, I will give you a heart, a new heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I ask that you help me pray that my heart is completely right with God, that I can be all that God wants me to be. I pray for our church. I pray for our pastor. And I know I'm going just a little bit over. Pastor, I pray for you because I love you and God's called you to this, but there's also a selfish reason. Because the better you are, the better I am. You make me a better man. You make my family better. Pray for your pastor. Don't talk about your pastor. If you haven't talked to God about something you don't like, then don't talk to anybody else. That wasn't in my notes. That was free. I pray for our ministry team. I pray for our greeters. I do pray for you sound guys. Not this week, but, I pray for the sound guys. I pray for our singers, our musicians, because in the unity, God will do great things, and my heart will be better. God bless you, except the sound men. When you guys come up to the altar, I will pray with you. Let's have great church today.